This is Second Look, only on 103.3 WZND. Here to take a second look at the stories the WZND Newsroom has covered this week. Investigative reporting from the award-winning WZND News Team, here for you. Unbiased, engaging, and comprehensive. Second Look starts now.
Happy Sunday, everyone, and welcome to this week's edition of Second Look. I'm Rachel Deerfield.
And I'm Jason Zaylor. Today we'll be discussing Grab a Cone Community Event, Bloomington Ice Center's return to the rink, and the Children's Discovery Museum's new director of education. Thursday night, Bloomington hosted the Grab a Cone Community Enhancement event, where residents had the opportunity to speak with community inspectors whilst enjoying Kona Ice and bounce houses.
It's so good.
Bloomington just hosted its second Grab a Cone event to promote community enhancement. Along with free Kona Ice snow cones and bounce houses, a number of community enhancement inspectors attended to talk about safety. Community Enhancement Director Linda Webner had this to say.
We have always been reactive. Now we're going to be proactive. And so in order to do that, we have to be able to educate the community on what that proactive looks like.
The Department of Community Enhancement is responsible for inspecting safety and code violations in people's homes, such as lead paint, obstructed sidewalks, or overgrown yards. Visitors to the event were led through different stations, and at the end of them, they got a ticket for a free snow cone.
We wanted to make it family friendly, so that's why we included having the bounce house, having fire and police here to do demonstrations, and then of course, who doesn't love a snow cone at the end?
Webner said the events have been very successful.
We plan on having a whole lot more, so definitely like the community being able to come out and have fun and get that education as well.
There will be one more Grab a Cone event on Tuesday, September 9th from 4:30 to 6:30 p.m. The final event will take place at Tipton Park. For WZND, I'm June Delahunty.
Once again, there will be a second event of this on Tuesday, September 9th from 4:30 to 6:30 at Tipton Park. This is a great event to bring any concerns regarding safety of your house, home, or community.
Katie Keller was just named the new Children Museum Director at the Children's Discovery Museum in Normal. WZND's Gigi Escobedo spoke to the Executive Director of Cultural Arts to hear more about this decision.
Beth Wiseman, Executive Director of Cultural Arts, talks more about Keller's previous experience, new ideas she brings to the museum, and what this means for the town of Normal.
So what Katie Keller, her experience has been in the informal education world is through national parks. She has, she's worked as a site interpreter. She has, you're essentially a park ranger, right? You are helping people connect with the environment around them, adults and children alike. She's had 15 years of experience as an interpreter.
Keller brings lots of new ideas to the table for the museum. Her main goal is to create hands-on and accessible learning experiences for children to play. Another focus of hers is integrating accessibility into STEM education.
Our vision is to be the destination where the power of play inspires learning for all. So how might she take her experience from the Park Service and translate that into our future? And so we've talked a lot about making things for the whole child, so they are getting that social emotional as well as the actual hands-on experience. I think that Katie will be looking at our future of how to connect the fundamental values of our strategic plan with our education programs, looking through the lens of STEAM education, but also increasing accessibility to our programs and connecting us into the community with more partners.
Wiseman explains how Keller's experience is going to benefit the museum as well as the town of Normal by being able to connect with families through education as well as enhance the educational staff with the priorities of making their learning standards.
We're going to have a top-notch education director who's going to be helping lead the museum and how we're teaching children, how we're connecting families and the community. We're going to have someone who's well-positioned to help our education staff continue to develop professionally, but also stay on top of learning standards so that we're properly serving our schools.
Keller started her position as Director of Education at the museum on September 2nd.
The museum is excited to see what Keller is going to bring to her new role.
News now on 103.3 WZND.
Welcome back to Second Look on WZND. In case you missed it so far, we've talked about Thursday night's Grab a Cone Community Enhancement event and the Children's Discovery Museum's new Children's Museum Director, Katie Keller. The Bloomington Ice Center is set to invite all for a return to the rink open skate. free for everyone. With more on this, we listen to Caitlin Wittes.
Now that summer is ending, the Bloomington Ice Center is here to remind the community of the winter weather just around the corner. This Saturday, the arena held a Return to the Rink event featuring activities for all skill levels. Bloomington Ice Center manager Michael Hernbratt discusses the event.
People are still kind of in summer mode, so this is a good chance to get everybody out and kind of remind them winter sports are coming, and it's just a fun event that we kind of invite the community to come out.
Planning an event like this includes more than just spreading the word. In order to get ready for the year and the events that follow, the ice needs to get put back into the rink and accustomed to skates.
When you first put the ice back in, the first time you start getting skaters on the ice, it actually cracks a little bit. So we used to call the event Break the Ice, specifically for that reason. So it was started just to get people to come out, skate on the ice, and kind of break the ice in for us, per se. And it's just sort of moved into this Return to the Rink event.
With the help of his director, Hernbratt is able to get the event set up for skaters and prepare the rink for use.
You know, it's a little bit unique to the community. We're the only community ice rink in the Bloomington Normal area. It's an opportunity for people to come out and just see, what we have here, specifically for ISU students that maybe are coming from areas that they do skate. It's a good way for them to kind of know, okay, I can still skate down here.
For Second Look, I'm Caitlin Wittes.
Again, the free skate will be held at the Bloomington Ice Center on September 6th from 3:15 to 4:45. Registration and more information can be found at bloomingtonparks.org.
On Friday, Governor J.B. Pritzker had several discussions with community leaders and partners in the Chicagoland area amid plans of a possible federal occupation and increased immigration enforcement by the Trump administration. Governor Pritzker met with school administrators, community violence interventionists, and local businesses to hear firsthand about the impacts and fear of Trump's impending federal actions in Chicago neighborhoods. Governor Pritzker encouraged Chicagoans to look out for each other, know your rights, and record anything you see happening.
Illinois State University has set another enrollment record for fall of 2025, welcoming a total of 21,994 students, marking a 2.1% increase or 448 students over last year's historic high. This is the fourth consecutive year of growth for ISU, which now includes 19,513 undergraduates and 2,481 graduate students. Nearly 6,000 new Redbirds have joined the campus, including 4,253 first-time in-college students, 1,714 transfers, and 527 honors program students, another record. The academic strength of the incoming class continues to rise, boasting an average GPA of 3.63. Retention has also improved, with 81.9% of first-year students returning for their second year, a half-point jump from last year. These figures were finalized on August 29, 2025, the 10th day of classes. University President Andover Tarrell credits the continued growth and strong retention to Illinois State's commitment to students' success and enriching experiences, saying, quote, "The Redbird approach to collective teaching, scholarship, and service is the university's proud legacy and its future." New academic programs, including those in engineering, data science, and sports communication, are helping meet student and workforce demand. Executive Director of Admissions Jeff Mavros praised ISU's ability to remain a first-choice school, emphasizing how, quote, "getting students here is only the start." With improved support, services, and engagement opportunities, the university is not only attracting high-achieving students, but ensuring they thrive.
On September 16th, the Normal Public Library encourages the community to come out and celebrate the reopening of the library with a ribbon-cutting ceremony. The library was temporarily closed after a 16-month-long renovation project. The renovations included a new teen area, an all-ages tinker studio, new furnishings, and updated lighting. The ribbon-cutting ceremony will begin at 4 p.m. and will include light refreshments, giveaways, guided tours, and a photo booth. Coming up, we will hear from Coach Speck about ISU's win over Morehead State.
News now on 103.3 WZND.
Illinois State football picked up their first win of the season Saturday night as they hosted Morehead State at Hancock Stadium. In the first home game of the season, the Redbird faithful showed up strong as they watched the ISU win 41-13. The highlight of the game was running back Mason King getting his first carries of the season after a torn ACL last year in week one. Head coach Brock Spack spoke on King being back.
How much we'll play, we'll see, but as the week goes on, but he's practicing, he's available, he's much better today than he was yesterday, and he was better yesterday than the day before.
Illinois State football is next in action this Saturday as they travel to Charleston, Illinois, to face Eastern Illinois Panthers at 2 p.m.
Now, Jason, I know that you weren't able to go to the football game this week, and unfortunately, nor were I, but I don't know about you, but after seeing that final score, kind of regretting not going.
Yeah, 41-13. Interesting game to start. Quarterback Tommy Rittenhouse ended up sitting out the first 25 minutes of the game. As we know from last week, he would come out end of the third quarter against Oklahoma with a shoulder injury. For this game, the Redbirds would end up starting freshman Beckham Pellant. Ended up going 4 for 9, 61 yards, and a touchdown before Rittenhouse would come in. Later in the game, went 8 for 13 for 81 yards and 2 touchdowns.
Mm-hmm.
Beckham did come in for no other reason other than just to start. Redbirds started off that first series 10-6 before Rittenhouse would step in. So I don't know if that was something to do with the shoulder or if it was just they wanted to give some more starting looks to their freshman quarterback room.
Right. I'd say it's beginning of the season, too, and I think trying to figure out what quarterback is best in certain situations as well, but especially when we have a freshman backup QB right now, too. Mm-hmm. But obviously dealing with that shoulder injury is the number one important thing for Rittenhouse. And correct me if I'm wrong, but last year I went to quite a few of the football games here at Hancock Stadium, and Rittenhouse seemed to be a really important role for the Redbirds.
Definitely. No, he was named the starting quarterback coming out of, you know, fall camp. Of course, they faced a really tough opponent in Oklahoma, ranked number 18, ended up just beating number 15 Michigan yesterday. I think everybody kind of knew it wasn't going to be a great showing for the Redbirds. Partial to the reason why he did not return in that game, even though head coach Spack ended up saying later in his weekly press conference that he was fine, there was no injury, they just wanted to pull him, give the reps to their freshman quarterback, and, you know, maybe avoid some injury for those starters. And then coming back into today, I'm still a little confused as to why they would end up keeping him out for those first 25 minutes. I know they were facing a slightly less opposing opponent Morehead State, but even still, there was some struggles there. Rittenhouse did end up throwing an interception today, last night.
Right.
But our offense was clicking, which was so much different than the Oklahoma game when we couldn't get anything started. Victor Dawson ended up leading the way for the Redbirds rushing attack with 10 carries for 88 yards, and then also receiving 3 receivers combining for 155 yards and 3 touchdowns, them being Daniel Skobowicz, Luke Maliander, and Nick True. Offensive performance was intense, especially towards the end of the game, and then kicker Matt Maldonado went 2 for 2 on field goals with his career-long 45-yard attempt.
I mean, I think if you're a Redbird football fan right now, just seeing the difference between the Oklahoma University game and this game gives us some hope, especially like you were discussing the offense-wise for sure.
Mm-hmm.
But let's go back really quick, too, for the shoulder injury for Rittenhouse. Let's say this is more prolonged. Let's say this isn't temporary. How do you adjust to a freshman quarterback with all of the veterans, if you will, on the team right now for offense-wise?
Offensively, you have a good receiving core, like I said, so you could rely on that. Of course, Pellant going 4 for 9 isn't the most promising thing in the world. But you also have Mason King coming back, who was stellar during his 2023 season, rushing for 900 yards plus, and I believe 15 plus touchdowns for the Redbirds. So he'll be coming back. You have Victor Dawson, who's an amazing back. You could rely on the rushing attack, need be. You have a great kicker in Matt Maldonado. Again, 45-yard attempt being made was very promising for your special teams. But honestly, best part about this Redbirds team, it's their defense. Shadwell Nakuba had his second interception in back-to-back games, and then also a game-sealing 27-yard scoop-and-score touchdown by senior defensive back Cam Wilson off of a Solomon Aduma forced fumble late in the game. That sealed the deal for the Redbirds, And then you have transfer safety LeChevion Brown, who led the Redbirds with 8 total tackles. And linebacker Patrick Bauer had a sack and 2.5 tackles for loss. So you could take a look at the Redbird defense as probably being your number one option for the rest of the season. Need be, you're having struggles at quarterback and having offensive efficiency problems.
No, hearing that gives me even hope, too, because I feel like last year our defense was kind of struggling.
Yeah.
Might be a hot take there. Sorry. No, sorry, Redbird football, but
I don't think
games I went to didn't look too good. Some of them I was not to throw shade or anything, but.
Yeah. And, I mean, the Redbirds, they're still in a good position, number 7 in the FCS rankings. And there was some shaking up scores because number 5, South Dakota State, ended up losing last night as well. Mm. So, I mean, we could see the Redbirds end up moving up in the FCS rankings. I don't know if that will happen. Of course, you know, we have a bunch of ups and downs over the last couple days. I'm trying to find the score right now.
But even, too, like you were talking about FCS rankings, everyone, I feel like, lately has been really hyping up the Redbirds and saying that we could get to the playoffs this year, which is obviously an exciting talk, even though we are only in early September.
Yeah.
But you have to keep your obviously be optimistic as well.
Yeah, definitely. No, I mean, the Redbirds were able to do it last year. We came off the tough loss. I believe that was 55-0 against Iowa. Yeah, Lamar. Okay, so going back, South Dakota, ranked number 5, lost to Lamar University, who's an unranked opponent in the FCS rankings, 20-13. I'm saying Redbirds could move up in the rankings, bettering themselves for a playoff push. Of course, it's only week 2, and Morehead State isn't exactly the most incredible opponent to be going up against.
Sure.
Again, FCS teams have been putting on pretty good show. Unfortunately, Valparaiso, who's also in the MVC conference, kind of got killed by a Division II opponent in Adrian last night, so maybe not making FCS look that great.
Yeah, absolutely. And just like we said earlier, too, Adam and Cole for WZND were on that call last night and did an amazing job. And even the pick 6 call that everyone was saying in our news and sports departments, I'm really excited about that and everything. So good job, guys, on that. But like you said earlier, next Saturday, ISU football will be facing Eastern Illinois, in which, would you say they're a challenging competitor? Yes, no. I'm kind of leaning on the no side, if I remember from last year.
Over the last couple of years, they have not been. Eastern Illinois lost yesterday to Indiana State, 38-14. But they also beat Dayton, I believe, week 1. I'm trying to find that right now. Yeah, they did. They beat Dayton 24-14. Of course, these are all FCS schools. FCS rankings are different. We beat Eastern Illinois last year for that cup, and I mean,
yeah, I thought I was remembering that correctly.
It was an impressive fashion, and I think we could again. Again, I would say, you know, Spack's probably going to rely on his defense again for most of the game, but I really want to see what they're doing at quarterback. I wonder if they're just going to go, you know, keep Tommy in, or if they're trying to maybe give him limited reps and they're thinking about, all right, we can clear house with all our FCS opponents up until, you know, North Dakota State, South Dakota State, when we have to face them. Let's just save him for those games, and let's just save him for the eventual playoff push.
Yeah.
I could see Spack looking at it like that.
No, 100%. That's definitely an interesting point of view there. Thank you, Jason. Shifting really quickly, though, it's first NFL Sunday.
Yeah.
How are we feeling about that?
Huge. So great.
Is there any certain games you're excited to watch tonight, or just the Sunday night football game tonight?
Sunday night football. I mean,
Gotta watch Sunday night football, right?
I was going to say, I'm pretty busy today, but, you know, it's football's back.
Football
Bears are playing
is definitely
tomorrow.
Back, and even tomorrow we got Bears Vikings 7:15 p.m. That's going to be really exciting for the Bears kickoff at then. Anything you're looking for from the Bears?
I want to see how Caleb does. Of course, Ben Johnson coming in. Offensive mechanics are going to be completely different, but also it should be exciting. He was doing a lot of really cool stuff with the Lions last year,
right?
Unfortunately, also on the Bears, but. Now we have him as head coach. You have Caleb Williams, who's dual threat quarterback. You have DJ Moore. You have Roma Dunze. You have two amazing tight ends in Colson Loveland and Cole Kmet. You have such a great air raid offense right now. And I'm excited. I think we're going to get in some high scoring games. Honestly, my only worry might be our run game. I mean, I'm not I have not been sold on DeAndre Swift as our starting running back for the last couple seasons. Roschon Johnson is a running back too, and I believe he's still questionable for the game tomorrow.
I don't know if it's only me, but I feel like this is other Bears fans as well out there. Is my worry is just making sure we're all being cohesive together, right? Mm. Obviously, we do have Caleb Williams as our starting QB, but is everyone on the same page with all of the new changes that are happening in the Bears organization?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's an interesting question to bring up now, especially after, I don't know if you saw it, but an article was released, I believe yesterday or Friday, regarding that Caleb was having issues with his coaches last year, which of course we know how that ended with Eberflus eventually getting fired, and so was offensive coordinator Shane Waldron. And then more stuff came out that, you know, coaches weren't showing Caleb film. And but recently the media has been kind of attacking Caleb for being like a not their quarterback or not a team player. And I think that's simply untrue. He was put in a really bad position last year with a faulty offense by Shane Waldron and then Matt Eberflus. I mean, let's be honest, that was really bad. He was saving a timeout on that Thanksgiving game for the next one.
Oh, yes, Bears fans, so sorry about bringing that up again already early in the season. No, but I totally agree with you too. I think media obviously is important, right? Mm-hmm. It's what part of the business we're in right now, but it's always pushed back on the quarterback, and they have to have what I believe is strong mental health for that, right? Yeah. I think they have to kind of put that aside. Caleb Williams is going to produce what he can produce.
Yeah.
I don't know if you or anyone out there has been focusing on the practices that we had at Hallis Hall. Mm-hmm. Obviously the first one was looking a little shaky.
Yeah.
It wasn't looking like we were actually a team, to be honest.
Yeah.
But it's starting to get slowly better and better. So we're really hoping that that's going to change around on Monday night.
Yeah.
Additionally, though, with the beginning of the NFL season, we're going towards the end of the MLB season, which makes me sad, but also makes me happy at the same time, because playoff baseball is maybe the best baseball all year around.
Absolutely.
I know today we got Cubs Nationals at 1:20, Cards Giants at 1:15, and White Sox Tigers at 12:40 today. Mm-hmm. Remind me, are you a Cubs fan?
Oh, yeah.
Okay,
oh,
I thought so. That's why you're on my team, honestly. So.
Exactly.
That's perfect.
Yeah. No, Cubs, a little disappointing right now. You know, we are 5 games back in our division.
Mm-hmm.
Still in that wild card spot. We'll probably secure that. But honestly, I feel like we're just not being aggressive for the division. I would really like to see us go out, try to win it. It really is right there, and honestly, we've just been deciding to put out, you know, less, or I should say lacking, offensive performers on our starting lineups over the last couple weeks.
Well, to me, it's been longer than a couple weeks. We've struggled since after the All-Star break, and it's been extremely frustrating.
Yeah.
Kyle Tucker finally coming back within the next couple of weeks, hitting more home runs, being more healthy after we found out about his fractured finger, that he was still playing with a fractured finger. I understand, but I'm also like, King Tuck, what are you doing? And now, unfortunately, it might look like that PCA is going to be injured. He's not in the lineup today, and the Cubs have Kevin Alcantara starting in center field.
Well, that's cool. I mean, Kevin Alcantara, you know, that's awesome start for him coming up from AAA. PCA, x-rays were negative on his right knee after. Of course, yes. Last night he would end up following a ball just right off the kneecap.
Yeah.
Just painful, painful right
Definitely
there.
Definitely has a bruise this morning.
Yeah, but he'll probably be back within the next couple days. They're just going to give him some rest. Tucker's also making a little rest with his calf strain. And I mean, what's most likely happening right now is Council's sitting and resting his starters for the playoffs. He's anticipating we're going to be stuck in the wild card.
Absolutely.
Probably already locked it in.
Yeah.
Again, I would love to see us be a little bit more aggressive for the division, considering we were only 5 games back.
Well, that's, like I said, that's where I was. That's where my mentality was at. And I'm thinking to this other Cubs fans as well, being the fact that we were literally right there before the All-Star break. And then we came back after the All-Star break and we're like, hello, where did our offense go? But I feel like that happens to teams, right? Like teams that are maybe hot before the All-Star break become cold and vice versa. Yeah. So it's just kind of interesting to see how we're all going to be adjusting to that. But it looks like Drew Pomeranz is going to be starting tonight, or this afternoon, excuse me, for the Cubs. So another bullpen game, which I don't know about you, Jason, but I don't really like our bullpen.
I'm really not into it. Well, the problem is our bullpen games are...
They're not in our favor. Let's say that.
Worst.
Yes, they're never in our favor. And it looks like Alvarez is going to be starting for the Nationals, who has only pitched 5 innings. So maybe you have a chance today. But as we know, too, the Nationals are not the strongest team in the MLB right now either, with a record of 57-84.
Yeah. And I mean, looking at our starting lineup, not crazy about it. We have Carlos Santana, who we recently just picked up, playing first.
Correct.
Justin Tucker is our designated hitter.
Correct, yeah.
Matt Shaw, still in the 8th spot, despite, you know, we're missing PCA and Kyle Tucker. I really don't like this lineup.
I'm with you, Jason. All the feels, and hopefully other Cubs fans out there too are with you. We gotta figure something out, because it's playoffs or nothing at this point. We had a strong, I feel like in the beginning of the season, that I was like, oh, we're going to the playoffs. We're going to the World Series. We're going to the playoffs, though. And now it's like shaky. So definitely got to get ready for that wild card, like you were saying earlier.
I think that'll probably wrap it up then. Closing out on some sports, some NFL and some MLB. Pretty fun. Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode of Second Look. Today we talked about the Grab a Cone community event, Bloomington's Ice Center's return to the rink, the Children's Discovery Museum's new director of education, your local news, and sports. For Second Look, I'm Jason Zahler.
And I'm Rachel Deerfield. Have a wonderful rest of your Sunday, everyone.
This has been WZND's Second Look. Catch more WZND in-depth news every Sunday at noon with WZND's Bird's Eye View and Second Look. For more WZND news, find us online at WZND.com.